Improve it, peeps. Welcome to the show. This month, we are talking all about vision setting. Now, if you are new to the Improve It family, welcome. I'm Erin Deal, your host. I am a failfluencer, edutainer, and the chief edutainment officer of the company Improve It. We're not only a podcast, but we are a company, and we are a talent development company, an improv-infused talent development company that is changing professional development for the new generation of work. Now, if you are listening, you are most likely a people leader here to get all of the goods. And let me just tell you, today's conversation is going to be tight. It's going to be tangible, and it is going to be a tough conversation. Just kidding. It's not a tough conversation. It's actually the easiest conversation I've ever had, but it is about tough conversations. So I want to just start off by just setting this vision for you. Now, I know we're coming out with this episode at the end of 2024, and it's not lost on me that vision setting is not something that we need to do at the end of every year, but what is something we need to do as a daily practice, all right? I want you to think about your own vision setting practice and what that looks like in your life. Maybe it's an annual practice. Maybe it's a quarterly practice. Maybe it's a monthly practice. But whatever it is, I want you to get quiet for a moment. I want you to think about that practice for the rest of our time here today. And I want you to think about how you can make vision setting not only something that you do at the end of a year, but something that you can incorporate into your life on a daily basis. And now I want to even get more micro. What vision do you hope to get from this episode? What are you hoping to get out of this? I want you to set that for yourself right now. Because today's guest is someone who is amazing when it comes to making their visions a reality, especially when it comes to envisioning how a difficult conversation could go right. My guest, Justin Jones Fosu, is a dynamic business speaker and social entrepreneur who combines his experiences as a Seven Summits conqueror and a devoted father to drive transformative change in corporate culture. Now, as the CEO of Work Meaningful, he delivers powerful insights on meaningful work and inclusion, and his influential books, including the newest release, I Respectfully Disagree, and The Inclusive Mindset, they both offer guidance on navigating complex workplace conversations and fostering inclusivity. Now, if you clicked play on this show, it's because you want to lead your team at the highest level and have that communication that makes people feel open to connecting with you. You have a vision to make people feel seen, heard, and valued, and you want tips on how to make this even more impactful in your workplace or tips on how to start. And maybe you have zero clue where to start and you're looking for a blueprint when it comes to navigating difficult conversations at work. But whatever your reason for pressing play today, I can guarantee you a very tangible conversation filled with love, joy, positivity, and vulnerability. So grab a pen and paper. Please join me in welcoming the one, the only Justin Jones Fosu. Let's improve it, y'all. Okay. Yes, I'm feeling it. Justin is here. Welcome. We are doing a chicken dance. Y'all can't even see it. What is up, Improve It peeps? Oh my God. I love Justin. Justin, okay. Welcome to the Improve It podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for improving me. I appreciate it.
Well, I feel like we've had like 5 minutes together and I could talk to you for the rest of my life. So I'm excited that you've improved my day and we're going to improve everyone listening's day. I have so much to unpack with you, but I want to start. We were talking before the show. We are recording this show prior to November, but this show is airing in November. So the theme for this month is vision setting. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to just take a deep breath in. And I want us to just allow an intention to come forward. So what is an intention that you want to give yourself, this conversation, our audience today?
Vulnerability.
Yeah. I feel that. I'm so excited for our peeps to hear from you. You just radiate light. So I'm really excited for them to receive that and hear some vulnerable moments, but also learn a thing or two along the way. So when we talk about vision setting, I'm sure you have this because you are such a well-rounded, just amazing human. Do you have a vision setting practice or any type of ritual in your life that has gotten you where you are right now?
Yeah, I in three ways, right? And so for me, I cast vision. I'm not a big New Year's resolutions person just because of the research, but I have decided to lean into my birthday. And so really my year centers around the birth or the anniversary of my birth. And it allows me a great time of one, reflection. But then I also work through the four stage analysis model, different aspects of my life. And that's simply asking, where am I now? Where do I want to be? What are the barriers preventing me from getting there? And then how do I remove the barriers? And then from there, creating these two different elements. So that's number one. These two other pieces is I do a thing called a birthday challenge. And it's one of the ways I stay in what Carol Dweck calls a growth mindset. And I just challenge myself to do one thing I've never have done, but what either have considered doing or would consider doing. And the last is each year. So right now I'm 43, is that I challenge myself to do 43 things in the three categories of personal, professional, and people that will be a meaningful year for me. And so they don't have to be big things. It could be something simple, small, like, you know, calling my friend and, you know, leaving a funny video or something like that. But just those are ways that I really craft meaning in my own life.
I love it. When's your birthday?
May 25th.
What is that? A Taurus? No.
That's like a cusper. I'm not really into that stuff, but the definition of it, it's like I'm a Gemini with the cusp of Taurus, but yes.
I love it. I'm a Taurus. That's I'm not really into it either. I don't know a lot, but I just wanted to know.
That's why we get along so well. Yeah,
that's right. We're I'm a cusp of an Aries too, so I feel that. Oh, I feel that a lot.
We're cuspers.
Okay. So I could just be silly. I really, like, honestly, I kind of just want to have you back on the show. I planned to talk about difficult conversations, but I feel like this is the easiest conversation I've had ever. So let me ask you this. What drew you to the work that you're doing today? Because you are a speaker, a social entrepreneur. You're a father, you are driving change in corporate culture, you've written two books. What drives you? What motivated you to do this work?
Really, my mom. My mom's just a fascinating figure in my life. You know, as the old school song says, I get it from my mama. And I actually genuinely do, you know, because my mom, as I got older, we can sometimes think higher of ourselves than we should, right? And I'm like, oh man, I have these awesome concepts. These things are just irradiating from me. And then as I started digging deeper, I was like, wait, where did I get this from? And I was like, my mom.
I'm a mama.
And as I interviewed her for these last two books, one of the things that she uncovered is some powerful stories. And I'll just share one. My mom was one of the first Black female air traffic controllers in the Air Force. And she shared that there would be some time she'd be stationed in Japan for 2 years. And there are some soldiers who had the ability to, but chose not to leave base. And she was like, Justin, I don't want you and your brother to ever be like that, to never leave your metaphorical home base, to not get to experience the beauty of people and cultures around you. And that manifested in her taking us to events we didn't know a lot about and ones that we disagreed with and what she was doing. I remember sitting there like, why are we even here, Ma? But what she was doing, she was planting these seeds of humanity in me that I didn't know would germinate so much later. And so just seeing humanity of people, helping people to bring meaning to their lives, helping people to help other people feel included and valued. And ultimately right now with I Respectfully Disagree, having more challenging conversations, but ones that leave people feeling fully acknowledged.
I love it. What is your mom's name?
Valerie Jones Williams. As I call her Mommy. Yes.
Mommy Valerie Jones Williams, she did it right. Listen, I'm a mom of a boy. I have a 5-year-old boy, and I'm always so curious. Yes. What moms of men who love their mothers do and you know, allow them to have this great relationship with their son. And that is so meaningful that she showed you so many different pieces of life and helped you get off home base and experience the world. And now, because of that, she impacted your life in that way. You're able to impact others in this beautiful way. So we are so grateful to Valerie. Thank you, Valerie. I got to stick to my day job here, but I truly do believe like that is a really full circle moment because she showed you all the different sides of humanity to broaden your view of the world. And with that viewpoint, you're able to help other people do the same. How cool is that?
100%. And that's one of the things, the leaders who are listening, you have no idea the seeds you're planting and the people that you're leading just because it may not be an immediate result. And that's why we always have to think long term with our people, right? Even if they are no longer with our company or no longer in our division, you are planting seeds. And I've had people who, you know, we do work in Ghana now in terms of like educational initiatives. And, you know, one of my first and actually one of my favorite managers ever that was part of my early career, she planted these seeds, talking about growth and abundance, where she would sit me down in her office and just talk to me about these two different concepts and how to lean into this. And this is a big part of my work today. She actually came to Ghana with us a couple years ago. But that wasn't like in early 2000s that she was my manager for a brief stint. So you have no idea the seeds you're planting, even if you don't see the germination immediately.
I love that. And such a good reminder. Speaking of people leaders and people who do the most, I heard from an Improve It peep, such an amazing question. We asked people to send in questions via this little thing called SpeakPipe on our website. And I got a question that I thought would be so applicable to our conversation today. So I'm going to play it. Let me make sure you can hear it, but let's hear from one of our Improve It peeps.
Hi, Erin. My name is Julia. And I was wondering, what is one practical strategy you use to ensure that all voices are heard and valued during a difficult conversation, especially when emotions are running high? Thanks.
Okay, Julia. Okay. And I was like, you know who's going to help answer this? Justin. So I love that question. And I love the book that you have just... So wait, when did the book get released? When did you release
it? April 16th. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Woo-hoo. Can I say congratulations? This could be a singing show. I realize that.
This is an improv and singing show. Okay. We break into song. These are the commercials. These are your commercials. Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to just start off. I want to thank Julia for sending in that question, but I also want to ask you, okay, Justin, if you were to just sit here right now and you were going to talk directly to Julia and you could give her a specific technique or any type of framework that you use to have a respectful dialogue during challenging discussions, is there anything that comes to mind that somebody listening could take and apply today?
Yes. And I want to approach it from two different perspectives. One is as a leader, right? Because one of the things, knowing that people, leaders are listening, how do you ensure that each person's voice is heard? Number one, to state it at the beginning of the meeting. we would never know like just the power of simple statements. One of the things that we've challenged ourselves to do in our team is I also encourage people to disagree with me. And I tell them that it actually makes us in the conversation better. So in stating that up front, it creates an opportunity for people to better engage. Now, here's a practical thing you can do whether you're the leader or not. And it's a tool that we call the power of three. And in the power of three, it's what we found in our research is that people generally listen to the power of one or the power of two. And what I mean by that is, you know, we could be having a conversation, Erin, and you're like, oh, you know, I learned something new. And I could be like, oh, I learned something new too. I didn't engage with you at all, right? But if you said I learned something new, I could say, hey, what'd you learn? Power of one. You can tell me what you learned. I'm like, wow, like is that something that you heard about before? Or is that something that just deepened your practice? Power of two, right? And then you could say something else. I'm like, wow, how do you see yourself using that in the future? But what we often do is that we bring it back to ourselves. We deal with this double dutch style communication where we're just waiting to jump in rather than one, encouraging ourselves and others to use the power of three to at least get to the third level of the conversation with someone sharing. That helps to deal with hearing other people's voices, especially when emotions are high.
Oh my God. I've never heard that before, Justin. Honestly. So it's when you say the power of three, it's essentially digging in three times, asking more probing questions three times versus just superficially getting the meat and the potatoes. You're getting the dessert. You're getting maybe in a moose boosh. You're going all in.
Yeah, because we're trying to get to understanding. And you very rarely get to understanding at level one or level two listening. And in a world that operates by distracted listening, we need more people to lean into deep listening. And so what that challenges me to do, even if I don't know the words, right? We tell people, if you don't know what else to ask, say, tell me more, right? It's a simple three words that allow people to dive in deep because we've conditioned people not to actually share fully. And we never get to a place of real understanding.
That is genius. And honestly, sometimes I do things every time for the peeps. I'm taking that one home with me today, Justin. That's awesome. So freaking good. And it's, you know, it's applicable in a work scenario, but you can use that with your family. I see that with my 5-year-old, like right there. That's a genius way to get more information, to make them feel seen, heard, and valued. Okay. Yes. Okay. Let me ask you this. So let's say Julia's getting ready to prepare for this difficult conversation. Do you have any preparation tools that you use to make sure you're getting yourself in the right mindset and that the conversation remains constructive rather than confrontational?
Yeah. So it's going to be surprising that I'm going to say this. Because that's what, when we dive deep into the research, right? And we're listening and reading all these books and articles, and most of the conversations around difficult conversations or challenging conversations started with having the challenging conversation. We want to take it a step further. And that's where our pillar one of our five pillars is challenge your perspective. And challenge your perspective happens before any disagreement even occurs. And what I mean by challenge your perspective, that one of the things I found in my life is that I wasn't living up to my mom's ideals. I was staying in a home base, putting myself in positions of people that thought like me, believed like me, were like me. And I created this thing strategically to help me to challenge and to leave home base. And so it's what we now call the Circles of Grace Challenge. And a Circle of Grace Challenge is every 6 to 12 months, I go to events, experiences, or I engage with people in either which I don't know a lot about and or I disagree with. Why is that important? Because the more I practice that, the more I practice hearing perspectives that are different than mine, the more I'm able to exercise those challenging muscles so that when I'm in those moments, it's not as much of a shock and awe or shock value, but I'm engaging in real perspective that I've already taken a moment to do. Now, when you go to the Circles of Grace Challenge, right, go with two questions. One, what did I learn about the events, experiences, or and/or people? And two, what did I learn about myself as I experienced it? And that's the profound thing. So whether as an individual, we just took the Ford Family Foundation through this. And at the end of the 6 months, it was so profound to hear them share what they learned about even groups that they disagreed with, because they were like, wow, I got it wrong. Or that was confirmed, but I understood it in a nuanced way. These are the things that allow us to practically go into challenging conversations.
Yes. Okay. I love that. And it's almost like an improv. We say, get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And that's what we use, you know, to train our people is like, a lot of times when people hear, and I'm taking what you said, I'm doing what we call yes anding it, because it does relate, because a lot of times people hear, oh my gosh, I'm about to do improv at work with my team, and they freeze and they're terrified. And it's most of the time they have not gotten off home base enough to put themselves in those challenging situations. And so that is so beautiful. I love that. It's a life skill. Thank you, Valerie. Yeah. Another Valerie shout out. She better hear this episode. She better get her flowers. Okay. We need Valerie to get her flowers today because she is getting all the love. Okay. Let me ask this question, because I'm thinking about Julia and I'm thinking about, you know, her question. I'm thinking about our peeps listening. And for me, I'm a recovering people pleaser. I'm just going to like put that out there front and center. And I have recovered. I'm still in recovery, but when I have to have difficult conversations, sometimes I just do a do-si-do, maybe like a circle step, and I don't keep things straightforward and to the point. So how can someone who is a people pleaser going into a difficult conversation keep the conversation on point, to the point, and structured so that it doesn't go here, there, and everywhere?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different tactics. And as I speak about tactics, let me be very clear. There's a lot of people who have great tactics and no heart. And so our approach to this is heart, head, hand. And our first premise is that I want to go into every interaction with a humanizing approach, that I want this conversation, I want this person to be better. And I want to be better based upon this conversation. So when we give tactics, it's not to get over on people or to persuade people to do your thing, but it is to really have a really humanizing conversation. And so one practical way is by choosing to first ask a question. Oftentimes, we've created this our own narrative in our mindset about what we think happened, what happened in a project meeting, what happened on that assignment, what happened in the team. And instead of operating more to that place of assumption, which is our pillar three, is that we cultivate our curiosity and we fill in the gaps with curiosity rather than conclusions. And so a great way to lean in, right? Even in times with my wife that I thought that she did something, I'm like, hey, I noticed an X happened and this is how, you know, it made me feel. I'd love to hear your perspective on that. Like, what happened when this happened? And now I'm, instead of going and saying, hey, you know what? You know, when you did X, you made me feel, and I can't believe that you did. Now I've gone into this place of kind of complete judgment rather than curiosity of, I wonder what I can learn. And I would love to hear their perspective. Because when we don't ask to hear stories, we are left with our own stories that we've already created. And that's our opportunity. And so when you're struggling saying, hey, I don't want to really lean into it, go in a place of like, hey, let me just be curious. Instead of feeling like you have to have all the right things to say, have all the right things to ask. And that becomes the difference maker.
Justin, that is so good. Right there, it just alleviates the pressure off of you too. Because I think as a people leader myself, right? I think a lot of the times our biggest fear is that we don't have all the answers. And the truth is we don't. We don't. We really don't.
We don't.
No human does. No human being on this planet does. So allowing yourself that break, that just mindset of, okay, I don't have to absolutely get this right. I don't have to make sure everything I'm saying is perfect. All I really need to do is just listen. That right there just took some stress off my shoulders, like thinking about a difficult conversation I have coming up, right? So that's a really great reminder. And I'm going to personally use that as I go forward. So you think about having these difficult conversations and you think about the ability to have them. Some companies and some organizations don't have them. They just sort of band-aid them, right? And they just let things sit. And what I know to be true is that when you create a safe space for people to feel comfortable voicing their concerns, difficult conversations are going to become the norm, right? It's like that same thing of getting off home base. So how would you suggest, if there is a leader listening today who's like, listen, my organization, it does not do this. We only have the difficult conversation when it comes to the end. This isn't our culture. How could they start? Like, what's one starting tool that they could use to have a more safe space for team members to come forward when there are problems and not feel like it's going to the principal's office?
Yeah. So I'm going to give it a macro and micro because I think they're both very and vitally important in order to help craft culture. Number one, you have to know why you're doing it. if you don't have a strong why to creating these conversations, there's a lot of business case wise in terms of what conflict does to innovation, creativity, productivity, hiring, staffing, retention, all those things. There's a lot of research that goes into it. I'm not going to waste your time with, but you have to know the why, right? That we want people to bring their full and best selves to work because it actually helps them and they want to be in a space where it actually helps the company. And so that's the big why. Where we can go macro to this, and this is going to sound simple, but it's really profound in what we've talked to people and had some qualitative conversations, is modeling the behavior corporately, right? So if your company is used to having these kind of hidden undercurrents of what we call, we've termed this disrespectful agreement, where you agree in the moment or agree in that time, but you actually don't agree, or you stay silent because you were taught that children should be seen and not heard. And so you are now disrespecting yourself, but agreeing just to get along, even though you have a diverging view, is leaders macroly model the behavior, have a form. I've seen some organizations do it where they bring up a difficult conversation within the business and you have two different people that may be as leaders sharing and having the conversation about what it looks like to have this, whether they reach a consensus and or they don't, but that they still humanize each other. So number one is consider practicing that from a macro perspective. But from a micro perspective, which is really powerful for leaders because we have to do those things on a daily basis, is it, are we encouraging those conversations? And again, I don't want to simplify it, but I just got done doing some sessions with Toyota at the headquarters. And one of the things that one of the ladies in the session said is like, oh my gosh, when my manager shared that I could actually disagree with her. Now, we tested the waters first.
Yeah.
And we were saying, are they for real? Do they really mean this? Because that's what we're going to do. They're going to test, especially if it's not been built into your culture. They're going to test and see. And you have to reinforce it. So not only encourage it by verbally stating you want disagreement and people to disagree with you and give diverging views, but also reinforce it. And what I mean by that is reward it, not monetarily with compensation, but reward it in the sense of, hey, you know what, Aaron, thank you so much for disagreeing with me. It helped me to think differently about my perspective. What you're cueing to everyone else in that meeting or on your team is that I can do this. And it's actually seen as a positive. And so both from the macro and micro perspective, those are very, very specific, but very intentional things that will begin us on the journey where people are going to still test the waters, but you'll be diving more into the culture of that.
I love it. It does start at the top. All of this starts at the top, right? Like if you're just if you want people to just be yes people to you, that is a very hard way to have a growth culture and a growth mindset. Like that, it challenges nothing. And what I remind leaders of in our own practice is we have to challenge each other, but we can do that respectfully. That's what we use yes and for in improv. And it doesn't mean you have to agree with everything that is said. It just means that you can say thank you for sharing, acknowledge the share, and then move on from there. And I think that's a really easy example. Sometimes when we have these difficult conversations, it's hard, right? Like they sit with us for a while and it's hard to like take off at night, like to leave it at work, right? And I've had a conversation a year ago that I still think about that was difficult. And as you were talking, I was thinking about that conversation in particular and applying what you were saying. And we have to allow those difficult conversations to take place because truly that's where the innovation starts. And as painful as they are, I think they make everything so much better. We grow from them internally, externally. People grow their relationship. I want to just ask this last question because I'm sitting here going through my own like difficult conversations, shame spiral. And I'm like, okay, I did this. But what are some of the pitfalls that people might have when having difficult conversations? And how can we steer clear of them?
Yes. So there's several. I'll give three to help minimize the conversation, but maximal impact. Number one is to avoid the double dutch style of communication, right? And that's, you want to jump in. And we find that people often want to jump in either because they're just trying to form a connection. So maybe like, oh my gosh, you said, I'm kidding. And you've now taken over that person's story. And that person, even though you tried to form a connection, you ended up taking over control. And so in maximizing the power of three, it allows a person to fully be heard and understood. Second to that, another pitfall is that we only go to people when we have to have a difficult conversation. We want to be very careful that as a leader, right? The whole principal office thing, right? Like, Aaron, can you send Aaron to the principal's office?
Yes.
The whole class going, ooh, right?
Ooh, yeah.
But that's
and that what was, we like, often terrifying. Do as a leader.
Yes. You're like, hey, you have a moment to talk with me in HR, right? Right? Those are the conversations you're like, what am I doing?
Yes.
What if you use those conversations to praise people specifically?
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
What if you said, hey, we'd love to have a conversation with you. And you're like, oh my gosh. And you're like, you know, one of the things we saw you do the other day, you invited disagreement and you rewarded it and you came with this new solution that we never had before. And we really just want to say we appreciate that. Thank you for the hard work and leaning in. Like, that specific thing is very powerful to utilize your office in other areas for those moments of praise. But it requires us to do this as leaders. We've been challenging leaders to abandon the open door policy. And what I mean by that, because open door policy implies passivity. Hey, if you need me, I'm here, right? And often the open door policy has our doors closed. We even have virtual open door office hours. I'll be on Teams from Tuesday through Thursday from 3 to 5, right? And we've done that. But what if we move to what we call an out the door policy? An out the door policy implies we're going actually out to hear the perspective of our people, the people that we serve, our direct reports. And you may say, Justin, I have too much to do. I'm already overwhelmed. We have staffing shortages. I hear you. I deal with some of the similar things. What if you just boil down to a mathematical formula I'm going to give you? 1 MC/W, which stands for 1 meaningful connection per week. What if you built into your calendar 15 to 20 minutes each week just to have a meaningful conversation with someone in your office that you lead, someone in your community, a family member you may not have talked to recently? And if you're like, Justin, that's too much because that's 52.14 times a year, well, make it, flip the W upside down, make it 1 meaningful connection per month. And maybe it's a lunch, but it allows us to have that growth mindset, to hear perspectives, to build relational capital. Because guess what? And you're having that conversation, you've already built in some aspects of trust so people can share what they fully believe and think rather than feel like they have to hide it from you and keep it to themselves.
God. Okay. We're going to put this equation in the show notes. Tell me one more time. MC over W.
1 MC/W. Yes.
1 MC/W. Okay. Or it could be 1 MC/M if you're a monthly person. Yep. Okay. I am so here for that, Justin. That is the takeaway I'm taking away from this. Like, I think a lot of times we wait until reviews happen or we wait until we have these specific outlines. And I think those meaningful conversations can make a big impact, not only in somebody's work life. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
spark something so phenomenal. And I want to say thank you because you are a sparkle of insight and light. And I couldn't end without connecting the two because it just hit me in that moment.
Say it, Justin, say it.
The last pitfall that I think people make is that we conflate full acknowledgement with full agreement. And full acknowledgement simply means you've allowed that person to be seen, right? Even if you don't agree. And I love the reason I connected this is because Zhan Zhao, Stanford professor, she came up with this whole concept called thank you because, and she based it off of improv.
I was just thinking this the whole time. Yeah.
100%. And so she created this thing called thank you because in a way to, and you're having a conversation, so I'm going to give it to you in three ways. You know, Aaron, I want to say thank you because I've learned something new in this conversation that I've never learned, and I appreciate you choosing to share it with me. You know, Aaron, thank you because, wow, like, you talk about three things, and at number two, I'm going to have to do some research on it to really pique my interest. And last but not least, Aaron, wow, this was a tough conversation. And I want to thank you because you chose to lean in. You chose to have it with me. You didn't have to. And I want to say I really appreciate it. Not once in those three examples did I tell you I agree with you.
Right.
But I left you in a way to feel fully acknowledged, even if I don't fully agree. And so one pitfall is that we think that we have to fully agree by listening, that full agreement means that because we acknowledge them, but leave every conversation with a humanizing approach with full acknowledgement.
Oh my God, full circle moment, mic drop. I don't even, this is another commercial break. that is amazing. And I, you know, that's a really, I want you to send me that study if you don't mind. I'm gonna add that to my repertoire here. Of yes and, because a lot of times when people hear yes and, they think that they have to agree, and that is the absolute opposite. It's an acknowledgement, and that thank you because is beautiful. And I want to thank you, Justin, because this conversation has been so incredible. I know our peeps are going to walk away with so many tangible little nuggets of wisdom. I have one final question for you that we ask all of our listeners, and it's a good one. It's just like, what's the meaning of your life? We say it, improve it. The it is your thing. It's what you are put here on this earth to do. It's Justin's contract here on earth. What is Justin's it? You know, just analyze your whole life and put it into one or two words.
I would take a playoff of your show to improve people. And I think that for me is my it. It's improving people, walking through the TSA security line and thanking a security officer for keeping us safe today. That was a small micro moment that can improve their day. It's improving people by working within the context of our clients and helping the organizations. It's improving myself by going to therapy and learning and talking to my therapist to help me to turn confrontations into conversations. And so improving people is probably the circle
for me. I freaking love it so much. I am so here for this full circle moment because this was a vulnerable conversation packed with like so much knowledge and great tangible tips. And I know Valerie is proud. Okay, so you got to send it to Valerie. If anybody listens to this, it better be Valerie. And I just want to thank you because you are a light. You're doing light work here on this earth. You're given to so many people and you truly are leading by example and you're making Valerie and everybody really proud. So thank you for your work and for being here. And I cannot wait to continue the conversation. We got
to
have you back another time.
I'd love to be back. Yeah.
Tell everyone where they can find you, where they can get your book, all the things.
Yeah. You can go to howtorespectfullydisagree.com and you can find all the information about the book, the work that we're doing, take you all the places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, blah, 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 blah. And I love to connect with people on LinkedIn. And so LinkedIn is a great place. Justin Jones Fosu and the macro company is Work Meaningful, where we're working to help workplaces become more meaningful.
Okay, we're putting all that in the show notes. Y'all got to connect with Justin. He's the real deal, for real. Aww. So grateful for you. So grateful. You're in my orbit forever. So just get prepared. There's a lot of energy here, but it's all positive coming your way. Yeah. So thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Aaron.
And prove it, peeps. I could talk to Justin all day. What a light. What pure joy. So here's what I want you to do. We talked a lot about how his mother helped him help get off quote unquote home base. And that allowed him to have more experience and not feel as nervous when it came to difficult conversations or difficult things in his life. So I want you to examine your own life. Are you sitting on home base? Are you going to be able to get off home base and experience new worlds and new opportunities that get you just a little comfortable with the uncomfortable? My quest for you is to make every day an intentional practice of seeing something with a new set of eyes so that when it comes to having these difficult conversations, you're able to view points of view completely differently and be able to have the power of three, be open, and have the inquisitive questions that allow the person in front of you to feel seen, heard, and valued. Oh, my peeps, you know what I'm going to say? I want you to keep failing, keep improving, because this world needs that special it that only you can bring. I would love if you left us a 5-star review on this show or sent this episode to someone who could use it, who is navigating a new leadership role and needs help when it comes to having these difficult conversations. I appreciate you for tuning in. It is not lost on me. You have all the content in the world and you chose to be here. So thank you. I see you and I love you. Good night.
Improve It. Podcast.